Studio 360.
Biscuit, I have Tourette's syndrome, Biscuit, which is a neurological condition that means I make movements and noises I can't control called tics.
That's Jess Tom. She's a writer and artist who lives in London, and she hasn't always been so open about having Tourette's, even with herself.
Biscuit, I certainly had an idea that I moved around in an unusual way and made noises in an unusual way. But as a child, I think I made up lots of other different reasons for that behaviour. I think I was much more likely to think that I was bad or naughty or, you know, or evil than understanding that I had Tourette's syndrome. And actually, the reality of life with that condition is actually much less bad than lots of things I probably imagined as a child.
And one thing that has made having Tourette's much less bad for Tom is this ongoing project she does with other artists. Matt Fidler has that story.
Tourette's syndrome is defined by having both verbal and physical tics. The thump you're hearing while she talks is one of the physical tics that Jess Tom has, hitting herself in the chest with a closed fist. And she has other physical tics that can interfere with simple daily tasks like drinking tea or walking downstairs. Her vocal tics are words and phrases that can be made up of nearly anything that is in her vocabulary. But her most common vocal tic is the word biscuit.
It means that I am very biscuity. Biscuit, which if you're listening to this in North America, I'd like you to think about cookies.
She is very biscuity, saying biscuit every 10 seconds or so. If I left her mic on while she wasn't talking, you'd hear her quietly ticking words and phrases as she sat listening to my questions. And she does want you to know that Tourette's syndrome is not the swearing disease. In fact, 90% of people with Tourette's syndrome don't tic inappropriate things. And the 10% who do are said to have coprolalia.
I am one of the 10% of people with Tourette's who has coprolalia, Biscuit, and that is obscene tics, Biscuit. But still, for me, that's quite an unusual part of my condition.
Jess first started seeing symptoms of Tourette's syndrome around 6 years old. They started pretty subtle, but they grew increasingly more frequent in her early 20s. But even as that was happening, she didn't get a diagnosis.
It became increasingly obvious that I needed a way of explaining to other people. And it's very hard, Biscuit, to explain something that you don't understand yourself, Biscuit, and that you don't have, you know, a clear explanation for. So certainly, Matthew, Biscuit, it was a key part of encouraging me to get a diagnosis and to feel confident.
Matthew Pountry is a close friend of Jess's.
I am the quieter of the two of us.
Cat, less biscuity.
I'm much less biscuity.
Matthew and Jess became friends when they both worked at a play center for children with disabilities. It was Matthew who really encouraged Jess to get a diagnosis.
I remember many years ago getting you to watch an episode of South Park
Biscuit.
That had featured some people with Tourette's in it and Cartman claiming to have Tourette's.
Ass cheeks! Kyle, apparently you missed the school assembly yesterday, but I've been diagnosed with a very serious mental condition. You do not have Tourette's syndrome, fat ass.
Jess eventually did get a diagnosis. And then she had to face her disability head on for the first time in her life. She remembers having long conversations with Matthew about Tourette's and what it might mean for her life.
Lots of those conversations, Biscuit, had ended in tears. And then we had a conversation one evening, Biscuit, where Matthew, Biscuit, described Tourette's as a crazy language-generating machine, Biscuit. And he told me that not doing something creative with it, Biscuit, would be wasteful.
And it was that kind of talk that started Jess on a path to accept her condition.
There was something about that idea of a language-generating machine, Biscuit, that really captured my imagination. And certainly I'd also been brought up to think that being wasteful was, like, really bad.
So I think that when Jess's tics became more noticeable, I was just very naturally drawn to them as being these kind of random moments. And some of the imagery of her tics, some of the longer ones, are just
telescopic.
Exactly. They're just kind of incredible, poetic, visual moments that it just seemed like if we don't write these down, then, you know, the next day we're going to think, what was that amazing thing that you said? And it's going to be lost.
One of the ideas that Matthew and I first talked about in terms of this idea of this language generating machine was the fact that my brain biscuit randomly collided ideas together to create new concepts. And it was recording these ticks biscuit that can be biscuit can be very biscuit can be very simple noises or single words. Biscuit also can be really long and complicated sentences. Hedgehog, biscuit, tortoise porno, biscuit, like a tortoise porno, biscuit, cornflakes, biscuit. And I started to see the value of ticks and see them as a creative asset and something to be utilized.
And then they had an idea that they should actually document Jess's ticks and not just write them down, but share them on a website that they would call Tourette's Hero. The idea is that this random language generating machine was kind of a superpower to create random language for the purpose of inspiring art. Matthew and Jess document the most unusual tics that came out of Jess's mouth and post them for artists to use however they want. And the point was not just to normalize Jess's condition, but to show it could also be beneficial to help inspire artists. Artists like Amber Anderson.
Some of the tics that people with Tourette syndrome come out with could not possibly come from the mind of someone without Tourette syndrome, which then as an artist, as a visual artist, just makes it a delight to be able to work from.
Amber is an illustrator who has worked with Tourette's Hero. A couple of years ago, Jess and Matthew invited Amber to make the Tourette's Hero Christmas card, assisted by Jess's tics, of course.
Biscuit, well, it starts by Biscuit handing it over to Tourette's to a certain extent. Biscuit, there's a suggestibility, Biscuit, to some tics, that while most of my tics are absolutely nothing to do with what I'm thinking, that there is an element where, Biscuit, you can certainly know that certain themes might set them off. And Biscuit, I don't have any control over what comes out, but we do play with that suggestibility. And so maybe we'd try and sort of provoke a load of Christmas tics and then record them. Sometimes that's successful and sometimes that's not. Biscuit.
In this case, it was successful. And Jess gave Amber some Christmas-themed tics to choose from.
After a lot of deliberation, we decided to go ahead with Santa Claus is coming to town riding on a giant pussy as the card. So I don't know how much I need to describe it more than that. If your imagination is quite good, then hopefully you'll be able to imagine Santa Claus on a massive cat flying over the rooftops.
It is this very intricately detailed kind of Victorian pen drawing of this almost mythical looking giant cat with Santa Claus on it, which illustrated to me that finding the right tics is a big part of the process, unless you feel like drawing all kinds of biscuits or cookies. This is Keir Williams of the video art duo Chris and Keir.
You go through kind of tears of laughter to kind of these slight poignant moments. So I think for me, it's just literally go and explore.
They brought the tics to life in a whole new way, not in a static way, in a very real world way. And, you know, they did one of this fish is reversing, showing a fish going slowly backwards down a sort of canal towpath, or a Lebanese balloon animal, and a man with loads of balloons sort of stuck to his bum, like parading on all fours to the Lebanese national anthem.
To make these abstract, short, mostly silent videos, they'd go to the pound store, the British equivalent to the dollar store, and buy loads of strange items to make props out of.
We then spent 3 or 4 days going through the database and finding tics that we could imagine as performances. And for each of those, we made a load of props. We ended up making way more of these little performances that are in the final video. But what we found out was that the ones we thought would be really funny mostly got cut. And the ones that we weren't so sure about, when we performed them, they ended up being kind of the most funny. For the final edit, we chose the ones that would work in this kind of quick sketch-o format that we decided on.
Chris and Keir were acutely aware that a lot of video art in galleries can be long and tedious, and that very few people sit down and watch an entire video. But the wonderful thing about tics is that they are short, simple ideas, which means they can be turned into quick, simple pieces. And while they're often bizarre and unusual, they aren't unrelatable either.
It just provides you with kind of source material that isn't random, but doesn't quite make sense. It sort of lies somewhere between the two, between sense and nonsense, which in itself just is a really exciting thing as an artist, I think.
And I think that space between sense and nonsense is what makes Tourette's Hero a unique source of inspiration.
So the idea that these random ideas, Biscuit, that aren't nonsense. They are of me. They have the imprint, biscuit of me on them. They are of the sort of time that I've grown up. They have the sort of cultural things that I've been exposed to, biscuit. But they are also not my chosen thoughts or ideas. And they're certainly funnier and more inventive than the conscious part of me, biscuit, can ever dream of being, biscuit.
Which is why an artist like Joseph Hyde was interested in doing a project using Tourette's Hero.
I'm always trying to get away from just my own imagination and the limitations of that. And, you know, if I make something that's just 100% me and my ideas, then in some ways it's a little bit boring to me because that's where I live, in that head. So the randomness is kind of, hey, that's exciting. It's like another musician kind of improvising with me or throwing something unexpected at me.
For a year, Jess kept meticulous notes on the frequency and type of tics she was experiencing. Joseph took that data and created a piece called The Alchemy of Chaos.
So it's literally a year in 7 minutes. So it's not actually what she says as part of the tic, it's more the pattern of them over a whole year. And the thing is, it's really hard to understand that. If you just see a book full of numbers, that's not going to mean anything to you. But if you can turn it into a piece of music or a piece of sound, then you can kind of hear the rhythms and the patterns and maybe understand it in a new way.
Art is a useful tool for understanding something in a new way. And understanding Tourette syndrome in a new way is part of the reason why Jess and Matthew started Tourette's Hero. Most people still think of Tourette's as the swearing disease. But Tourette's Hero has grown into something much bigger now. They started traveling stage shows that are open to anyone to attend with or without Tourette syndrome, or really any disability. It's extremely inclusive. And because of this inclusivity and the diverse audience that attends them, anything can and does happen during a performance. And they just go with it and let it add to the experience.
We have a motto that is, you know, Tourette's Hero, changing the world one tick at a time. I think that when we kind of started, that just sounded good and sounded like something that we intended to do, but wasn't something that we necessarily thought we would be in a position to really be putting into action every day. And now, 8 years down the line, it feels like we are genuinely in a position where we're kind of helping to bring about some quite big change within society, particularly in the arts, in terms of the way disability is viewed and also the way people understand Tourette's.
I don't think I had any idea what I was letting myself in for, and that's beautiful. Like, we haven't had any set ideas or set agendas. Tourette's Hero has surprised us in so many ways and has been, yeah, more important and successful, you know, to me than I could ever have imagined, and has changed my life in ways that I could never have imagined. And I'm glad that I didn't have fixed ideas for what it could be.
That's Jess Tom, the co-founder of Tourette's Hero, which you can find at tourettshero.com. That piece was produced by Studio 360's former sound engineer, Matt Fidler, who also featured Jess on Very Bad Words, his great podcast about swearing.